coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is the Hagman Report for today. It is the 21st day of December. December 21st, the longest day of the year, or the longest night of the year. Isn't that right? Eric the Tech, after a nice weekend off, is today the, what is this? It's a winter solstice, right? According to the calendar, not the, you know, is that right? Anyway.
Good question.
Is it the longest night of the year, or?
Did you sneak that tree in there?
Hey, you know, that's right. There's a Christmas tree here. Eric Tech, thank you so much for doing that. If you can't see it, if you're watching this on any one of our video platforms, that's Rumble or Brighteon, there's a part of a tree. It's actually pretty nice. You know, if you can zoom the camera over, you can see it. But if not, no worries. You can see the at least part of the tree there anyway. So this is the Hagman Report, as I mentioned. I don't know. You got me off track there.
Is this the Hagman Report?
I should put a question mark there, right? No, here's the situation, folks. HagmanReport.com. Go to HagmanReport.com. Bookmark that website. The, Rumble. We're on Rumble. Go to Rumble and subscribe. Look, it's easy. You don't have to give any personal information. If they ask for a date of birth, just make sure you're over 18. That's all. It's really not that hard. It's much like YouTube, but we are absolutely not going to provide backdoor revenue to YouTube. Okay. Because it's a garbage platform. It has turned into a garbage communist platform. And I'll be damned if we are going to spend one or give them 1 cent from the broadcast of this, this program. And by doing so, all right, we're walking away from, I know the number shows 176,000 subscribers, but actually we're walking away from 250,000 subscribers. And folks, we just ask that all of you who subscribed at YouTube come over to Rumble. That's rumble.com. Hagman Report. It's right there. Go to any of our program descriptions. As a matter of fact, if you look at the latest YouTube videos, it's there. Okay. The channel for this show is there. Now I don't have my sport coat on because it's 120 degrees in the studio. And frankly, it's between the tree and the lights. It's pretty hot, but there's another reason for it. This is the strategy room, a situation room, strategy room. We are pounding away at the fact that this election is not over yet. And I want people to really understand this. The mainstream media is peddling such a bunch of crap to the American people. The social media is censoring just about everything with respect to what's really taking place. It is a sin. It is a shame. And it's filled with lies. A couple of headlines real quick, and then I'm going to make a couple of more announcements here. New study shows mask mandates had zero effect in Florida or nationwide, but the lie nonetheless continues. All right. Now think about that. Anyone who goes out and wears a mask, you are virtue signaling, and it's, to me, you look like an idiot. Okay. That's my view. And if you, but far be it from me. You want to wear a mask, but understand it does nothing. Zero. That's number one. Point number one. And look at the numbers and look at the studies. This is just not Doug Hagman talking. But it's the ultimate, and I mean the ultimate, symbol of submission. You might as well wear a burqa, you know, go ahead. The Hunter Biden laptop from hell, the media continues to ignore it. Dan Bongino last Friday, I want to tell you this. This is all fitting together. The Hunter Biden laptop from hell is really tied to Joe Biden. Joe Biden, the big guy, you know, hey, 10% for the big guy. But this all goes back as well to the Hillary Clinton emails. And before you just blow a gasket, folks, and say, oh, this again, and I thought this was debunked, or it's irrelevant at this point, let's move on, we have more to... No, no, listen to me. The 30,000 emails that were deleted from the devices, you know, with a hammer, not with a cloth, but with a hammer, and the devices smashed. Folks, there was a reason for that. And there was a backdoor reason for the Hunter Biden laptop disclosures that tie into recently released text messages between Strzok and Page and others. But the I'm just going to give you the punchline, so to speak. It's real simple. During the tenure of Hillary Clinton while she was Secretary of State, she, along with Bill Clinton, along with others, we're selling off our uranium to our nuclear adversaries for personal enrichment. Okay. That included Joe Biden, who is getting a kickback. And remember, Joe Biden was given, according to the laptop from hell emails, was given office access to or shared office with, as it was disclosed from the laptop from hell, but you won't hear this on the mainstream media, office space with the CFEC. I might have gotten that acronym wrong, but the Chinese energy company. So this all ties together. But the real end of story punchline is the fact that Barack Hussein Obama was a part of this as well. All right, so back up just a little bit because, again, we're going to be tying some things together here. When you think about this and when you look at this, folks, understand this. You have Barack Hussein Obama still in Washington, D.C., all right? Still in Washington, D.C. He's got a compound. He lives behind a wall, you know, parking for 20 cars. He's operating a shadow government. And remember that interview. There was an interview done with Barack Hussein Obama, and he said something to the effect of, if I could just stay in my basement, in my house, and talk into a microphone, and whoever the president might be, have a little earpiece, and I could say the words and get the words to that person. That person can then say what I'm telling them. You know, that'd be a great deal. Well, that's what they're attempting to set up right now, and this is what we are attempting to fight, because if and I don't believe this will happen, but if Joe Biden somehow gets sworn in on the 20th of January, 2021 at high noon, and I don't believe that to be I really believe that we have enough ammunition where that won't happen, then this communist takeover of the United States will almost be complete. You'll have a Biden-Harris, communist takeover. And of course, if you look at that cabinet, that fantasy cabinet that he has made up already, they're all tied in with Chinese communists or Mao Marxist communist, however you want to paint the picture. So that's why I don't have a coat on, aside from it being hot, because I'm going to roll my sleeves up here in a moment, get working. That's why our platform is tweaked a little bit, and I want you to share this platform with everyone you know. That's why we're going to be working solid between now and the 20th every single day. It doesn't mean we're going to be on air necessarily every single day during Christmas, but the fact is we're going to be working toward making sure that every legal vote counts, every illegal vote is thrown out. And there are some interesting stats out there about when you take the number of registered votes or registered voters who voted, and you slop off the illegal votes. I mean, it's the number of votes that Joe Biden was given. It would show a clear President Trump victory for a second term. It's very, very clear. And that goes to an audio or a video clip that we have. I'll play after. Here's at some point in the first segment of the show from Maria Bartiromo yesterday that I think it kind of sums up nicely what's taking place. And today, John Eastman, earlier this morning, was on with Steve Bannon talking about some other litigation in Pennsylvania and with the Supreme Court and such. But really the bottom line here is state legislatures, not governors, not secretaries of state, not the Supreme Court, not courts, state legislatures are responsible for selecting the electors for the Electoral College. End of story. All right. Now, we've gone so far from that. That's why you've got, and again, this is addressed in Federalist Paper 68, I believe it is. The character of the electors, we know what they should be in terms of without foreign entanglement, without foreign interests. And that's certainly does not describe the New York, at least three of the New York electors, that being Bill and Hillary Clinton and Cuomo. So a lot of stuff to get into and a lot of stuff to dig down in, which really brings me to the structure of our show. Randy Taylor, of course, everyone knows Randy Taylor. He's going to be my wingman here for the rest of the week. But the show is going to remain structured the same. John Moore is with me, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. Folks, if you haven't gone there, if you haven't listened to John, treat yourself. John is on the RBN network, and it's very easy to get to on the front page, landing page. Just dig down, drill down. If you want to hear previous programs, there it is. Most recent programs up front. And then, of course, the news down below that and products down below that as well. So that's John is with me, as well as Randy Taylor. So I'm going to bring Randy on as my wingman and then bring John on. I don't think these folks have been on together. But let's bring Randy on. Randy, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fantastic, sir. How are you?
Good, good. And then John is on top. John, I trust you had a great weekend.
It was a wonderful weekend. Thank you for asking, Doug. How about yourself?
Just terrific.
All right.
All right. So let's get busy. John and Randy, thank you for backing me up this week. I really appreciate it because this is insane. We are in insane times, and I think that we are close to war, internal war. But John, what's on your mind first and foremost?
Well, like many people, it's the election. I can't make assumptions. People know what's going on. Sidney Powell was in the White House Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was an all-day meeting involving Sidney Powell, General Flynn, back in the warehouse, by the way, and Rudy Giuliani and other members of the legal teams. We don't know what was discussed. There is some speculation, but that's all it is speculation. But I'm reasonably sure that President Trump has a plan that has a good chance of prevailing, you know, it's just so good to see General Flynn back in the White House. I'd love to see him get back in a position of high level and trust and responsibility, marching in there in a full uniform. That would just drive the liberals crazy to see that happen. You know, it would, wouldn't it? It'd be a kick in the teeth to the liberals. But that aside, President Trump has set a trap for the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims. I watched a film that I want to recommend to everybody over the weekend. The title of it is 12 Strong. And I first saw it a couple of years ago. I didn't think much of it, except it was a great action adventure. And then I found out a few days ago that this is about the first Green Beret team to go into Afghanistan following 9/11/01. I found out a few days ago that the A-team leader was Captain Chris Miller, who just happens to be the current acting Secretary of Defense. Now imagine this. Imagine you're in combat. You're facing Russian T-72 tanks with machine guns, armed personnel carriers, and you're attacking them on horseback. A cavalry.
Okay.
That's what Chris Miller did. In the open plains of Afghanistan, no place to hide. A few rocks here and there, attacking across the plains of Afghanistan on horseback with his A-team. Now, Chris Miller is a warrior. He's a man who's seen a lot of violent death. A lot of violent death. He started out as a private in the United States Army. Yeah. So he is a humble man. If you've been a private in the U.S. Army, that kind of teaches you to be humble. He had a good career in Special Forces, left. Got his degree. He's been in the private sector for quite a while. Now he's acting Secretary of Defense. President Trump appointing this man as Secretary of Defense was no mistake, Doug. That was by design. President Trump wanted two things, a patriot he could trust and a warrior. Many of these Secretary of Defense has never set foot on a battlefield. And probably, in fact, probably the majority of them have not. They're just bureaucrats that know how to manage people, more or less. In addition, President Trump made Special Forces, the Special Operations Command, I should say, report directly to the Secretary of Defense, giving it the equivalent status of its own, of being a, one of the, one of the armed services, Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines. Prior to this, for all the decades that Special Operations has been in existence, there was a complex, convoluted chain of command going from Special Operations Command to the Secretary of Defense. That's all gone. That's history. Which means the chain of command goes directly to the Secretary of Defense and from there to the President, eliminating all the bureaucratic hurdles that used to exist. It would take typically 24 to 72 hours to activate special forces to do anything under the previous guidelines. Now they can be activated in a matter of hours. That's a huge difference. I expect that when President Trump raises his right hand on January 20th, we're going to see Secretary of Defense Chris Miller start doing away with what happened under two Bushes, one Clinton, and one Obama, all of which were very harmful to our military. Integration of females into the Corps, politically correct military, getting rid of weapons that don't work. You know, you may not know this, Doug, but the first order for new F-15 fighters was placed this year. And it's not talked very much publicly about it, but the most expensive jet fighter ever built in the history of mankind, the F-35, you can't fly it in the rain. But the F-15, you can. So they ordered some new ones. That's a good thing. And much, much more.
Yeah,
the trap has been set
for the military. Okay,
the president's about to bring it full force and do what needs to be done with the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims. It's recently revealed in the last few days, also, Doug, that a hack of a Chinese intelligence agency computer revealed the identities of 89,000 Chinese spies inside the United States. That's massive news also, and they're throughout our country and throughout, they're in the private sector, in the academics, they're in just all over our country. And now that they've been identified, maybe we can begin the business of either arresting them or deporting them. So I see a lot of good news there, Doug.
All right. Randy, jump in any time because, you know, you're part of this. Any part of that you want to address, because there's a lot there.
Yeah, quite a bit. The I didn't know the number was up at 89,000. That's a lot of spies.
It's huge.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, they're in bed with our legislators. That's the part that scares
literally.
Me. Literally.
Yeah, fang, fang, bang, bang. Me love you a long time.
Right. That's a very scary prospect. And the thing is, how long has it been going on? That's going to be the real meat of the matter.
Well, John, I mean, and Randy, this has definitely been going on since the 90s. I mean, since the 70s. I'm sorry. One of the most egregious acts by any president in this country, you got to go back to Clinton, when he sold advanced computer and technology to communist China, right? I mean, that has to be.
Well, I'll go back farther than that, Doug. Let's go back to the first George Bush, H.W., correct, the first one. Shortly before George Bush left office, he put the Strategic Air Command on stand down, which, of course, they've been on 24-hour, 7-day alert for decades prior to that. He also issued an executive order that was implemented by Bill Clinton that was to take away the launch codes of the Polaris missiles from the submarine commanders. That was implemented by Bill Clinton. The threat posed by the nuclear submarines with the Polaris missiles is something the communists understand completely. And when he took the launch codes away from the submarine commanders, that basically cut that leg of the nuclear triad off at the knees. And, of course, under Bush also, we started filling in the bunkers with the ICBMs with concrete under the watchful eyes of KGB officers. using massive guillotines, cut the wings off B-52s and fold them back against the fuselage so that the Russian satellites could make those observations. So all three legs of the nuclear triad were basically either eliminated or severely compromised, beginning with the first George Bush. Just to refresh your memory, Bill Clinton also gave or sold the Russians the technology to make the high-performance ball bearings that are necessary to make a submarine so quiet that you can't hear it. And many other things we probably don't even know. But the harm to our military is top to bottom, left to right, that President Trump has a lot of repair work to do. And he's got a good team in place now with Secretary of Defense Chris Miller. Another thing that happened just in the last week or so, there was a Defense Policy Board. These are civilians that advise the Pentagon on various strategic matters, which used to include Madeleine Albright and Henry Kissinger. Well, they got fired, and now he got Newt Gingrich here. I don't particularly like Newt, but I think he's a patriot at heart. So he got rid of the One World people from the Defense Policy Board, and has seven or eight patriots there now. A lot of things taking place that aren't all that public on one hand. On the other, typically when a man is going to retire from the White House, he's planning his golf games and his wife's planning how to remodel the master bedroom at their home, or homes plural. That's not what this guy's doing. He's doing moves that would not be typical of a president about to retire. He's making the moves for a president who plans on cleaning house. That's exactly what's going on, Randy and Doug.
Yeah, Randy, what do you think? Yeah. I mean, you see that?
Well, from the military aspect, that's good. What are we seeing as far as, my concern is DOJ, you know, the civilian, more the civilian side of it, because he's getting zero cooperation the last 4 years from these clowns.
He has. And Bill Barr is almost out the door.
Yeah.
There's a lot of speculation about Sidney Powell possibly becoming the new head of the department, you know, new attorney general. I met Sidney Powell in Dallas at a speaking event. We were both speakers, and I spent an hour face-to-face, one-on-one with this woman. Randy and Doug, I've in my career as an investigator, I've probably worked with 500-plus attorneys the past 47 years. And I'll tell you, gentlemen, Sidney Powell has a, you hear the term, mind like a steel trap. How about mind like 10 steel traps? This woman is brilliant. Mm-hmm. She's smart. She's aggressive. She knows her stuff. I just found this out about 2 weeks ago. She's won 70 cases in front of the United States Supreme Court, something no attorney has ever done, even close to that.
That's impressive.
Now, Randy, you know, if you win one case for the Supreme Court, you can write a book and go on speaking tours. Just one. That's a career maker.
Yeah.
That's a career maker. You won one case from the Supreme Court. That makes your career. Well, this woman's won 70 cases in front of the Supreme Court. As I tell people, Randy and Doug, you go up against this woman in court, you're going to lose. Mm-hmm. I says, you know, you're just flat going to lose because she does her homework. She knows her stuff, and she goes in the courtroom. She's prepared better than anybody else in the courtroom, including the judges. So I'm glad she's on our side. She's clearly part of the Trump team, even though she may not be legally. She's an advisor to the president, or she wouldn't have been in the White House for 2 days over the weekend. We're glad that General Flynn is back also. It appears that General Flynn and Sidney Powell are working together on these matters. It's been said by many people who seem to be in the know that General Flynn knows where all the bodies are buried. That's why Hussein Obama administration wanted to get rid of him, among other things, including the book he wrote. I got an autographed copy at a fundraiser for General Flynn in Dallas also, met his brother. And it's a short book, but it makes it clear that you can't hope to defeat your enemy if you're not allowed to name your enemy, which they weren't. They weren't allowed to name Islam as their enemy. And, of course, with Hussein Obama being a Muslim, that was the end of his career. So a lot of positive things here. Many Republicans and conservatives are ready to throw in the towel. I'm not ready to throw in the towel. This president is working very hard to save the republic, and I believe he will do so, gentlemen.
Well, it's fantastic that he's getting a unified front. That's what he hasn't had in the last 4 years.
it's difficult. You know, you come in there as an outsider. You know, you got to pick the right people. But I also believe that he intentionally picked some of the wrong people. As the old saying goes, keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. Well, seriously, he knew who these two generals were that he hired, that they were globalists. He knew who John Bolton was before he hired him. But this guy's, if one of these men are working for you, guess what? You find out who all their contacts and associates are. And that has a lot of value in and of itself, to find out their contacts and associates. And I have no doubt whatsoever that he did that. You also learn their tactics, what makes them tick, how they want to accomplish certain goals. So when you work somebody at that close level, you learn a lot about them, and then you can use that against them once they're fired.
Absolutely.
How do you
say he's a genius, a strategist. Trump, just the way his mind works is incredible. We always say that he's playing, four-dimensional chess while everybody else is playing checkers.
Exactly.
Have either one of you read his books, especially The Art of the Deal? I feel like I'm living that. I don't know if you've read his books, but man.
I have not. Maybe I need to put it on my list. I'll do that right now.
Yeah, I'm telling you, you gotta. It's there are some similarities between what he's doing right now and The Art of the Deal, which there's a section in there about closing the deal and such. And, it's all about closing the deal, but it seems that way. But Randy and I were talking, last week too about, well, what would happen? I mean, I'm Twitter, just for one thing here, Twitter's saying, well, you know, we're gonna essentially ban, or the word is out, we're gonna ban President Trump after the 20th of January. Of course, in no way, shape, or form are they believing that he would ever get a second term. They're calling everything fake news in terms of the reports of fraud and such. Peter Navarro, The Immaculate Deception, which is on HagmanReport.com. Folks, if you haven't read it, do read it. But what do you think? I mean, Randy Taylor, I'm going to go to you because we talked about this, and then John, jump in. There's going to be a lot of exploded heads on the left if this does work out, and as we think it might.
A lot of exploded heads on the left. Well, you're being too kind, Doug. These people will go bonkers crazy.
Oh yeah.
And some will genuinely go bonkers crazy. Others will be paid to give that appearance. That would be the men and women recruited, trained, and equipped by George, or more accurately, Alexander Soros. Their job is to pretend to be upset and damage property, hurt people, in the hopes that they will get the rabble roused up that want to go looting and rioting, which they see as economic opportunity. But that's coming, Doug and Randy.
Yes.
That is coming. The civil disorder appears to be inevitable, no matter who gets elected president. And I would advise everybody, especially if they live in a blue city, it's in a blue state, to get ready because it's going to get really ugly really fast.
Yeah, Randy, you were talking about that.
And either way, yeah, it's going to get very ugly. It could get very ugly if Biden ends up going in. I just foresee trouble on the horizon. I see violence. People
I don't see any way around it.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. People are so fed up on both sides. And I think that's where we're heading. It's going to be like, it's a festering wound that's going to pop. This is it. I mean, it's coming.
How do you, one thing that I haven't factored in as much, or we haven't factored in, or I haven't heard either one of you, discuss, John and Randy, what do you think, China's reaction would be if President Trump had a second term? Because let me preface that question by stating, obviously there was a breach, Solar Winds, which, look, I think, it was attributed to Russia. And, this happened under Chris Krebs' watch, and Chris Krebs, of course, saying the election no problems with the election at all. It was the most secure election in history. Well, he's history.
Right.
But what is going to be China's reaction? Because don't forget, China makes our parts for sewage plants and water treatment plants and transformers for electricity. And my goodness, I don't think China would want to see a president, second term for President Trump. What do you guys think?
No, they don't.
But at the same time, what are they going to do? I mean, from a financial standpoint, they have no choice. They either play ball or go to war.
Well,
John, would you agree with that?
Well, we know what the final plan is for China, for the United States, as well as the rest of the world. Mm-hmm. China is in the process right now of colonizing sub-Saharan Africa. Yeah. That's been verified. In fact, my friend Command Sergeant Major Page spent a year documenting everything in Central Africa. They plan on colonizing the United States and having no Americans. And they plan on colonizing much of Central and South America the same way. We have a speech given by the top Chinese general, the Minister of Defense, to his own people, not meant for secondary release. He outlines this plan of colonizing America with no Americans. They feel like they need what we've got for their own people, and they're prepared to go to war to do that, Randy.
Would you agree, and we had made this assessment some time back, that the ideal plan that China would want to execute is something biological, to where they don't damage property, they just wipe out the people. Pretty much they can move in, burn the bodies, and they're ready to go.
Right.
Infrastructure's already there.
A race-specific biological weapon is something the Chinese have wanted. We don't know if they have it or not, or if that's even possible. So that is one of the weapons that they would like to have. We don't know if they have that weapon or not, Randy.
Because that's ideal for them, because, like I said, the infrastructure's still there, the buildings are still there. It's like a turnkey operation at that point. Get rid of the bodies, and you're ready to you move in.
Precisely. Well, like I say, we don't know, at least I don't know, if the Chinese have a race-specific biological weapon or not. The weapons they do have, of course, are horrendous. If they pull their own people out, of course, they may not care about pulling their own people out first.
they have enough to sacrifice.
Well, they murdered 50 million of their own people to accomplish their goal. So they'll what's another 89 or 90,000 people?
Exactly.
So everything's on the table, basically. Biological weapons, land invasion. The word we're getting from some of our sources, Randy and Doug, is that the Chinese would like to see us expend our ammunition on each other first before the barefoot peasants with AK-47s coming from South America. The Chinese and or Russians would not put their own people on the ground until the war was almost over, and more of a mop-up, clean-up operation is what we're hearing.
That would make sense, yeah. What do you make of all this coziness between Canada and China?
Well, Trudeau gets it honestly. His father was a communist, who was also our prime minister back 50 years ago. So he's a sellout to the communist Chinese. My listeners who live in Canada are very upset. Not that there's anything they can do about it. Of course, the entire country is in the process of being disarmed, which the Chinese need that. The communists need that to accomplish their goal. So it's obvious to me that Premier Trudeau is a communist sellout, that he sold out his people, sold out his country to the Chinese, and providing a base of operations for the Chinese to use against the United States.
I would 100% agree with that. I have family in Canada, and I absolutely agree with that assessment.
Interesting. Absolutely. Yeah. Trudeau, sadly. What a beta male, too. You know,
He's a punk.
He is. You know, and you had mentioned something about biological. Somebody said something about biological weapons. John, I think you did. What the hell are we seeing right now? It's a bioweapon from China, you know?
It's like a test run.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, what I started telling my listeners beginning today, every day, once on the hour, there is no pandemic. A disease that kills 0.3% of the people that get it is not a pandemic. On the face of it, it's not. There's nothing even to debate. A disease that, and I need to repeat myself, a disease that kills 0.3% of the people that get it is not a pandemic. And it's a fantasy, and it's an illusion to believe so. And all of us need to be start repeating that over and over again, gentlemen.
Yep. It is a scam. It's a scamdemic.
You know, I think, do you think, well, I'll pose this as a question to you both. Do you think people are starting to wake up to that fact? Because, honest to goodness,
where they've made it difficult to fight it is if they've scared people to the point. I mean, I've got in-laws, elderly in-laws that are terrified.
Yep.
And I'll go and visit them and I have to spend an hour talking them in off the ledge. I mean, they're ready to slit their wrist.
Mm-hmm.
And they've effectively scared the population into believing. Anytime the government comes to you and says, this is in your best interest, and you need to throw your hands up, step back, and take a hard look at it. Because that's this is one of the best. I'm a sales guy. I've been in sales all my life. This is the best sales job I've ever seen.
Oh, yes.
Just amazing. And the killer part is the people are buying it hook, line, and sinker,
right?
Because of how it was presented. We're here to save you. We're here to help. We're here to help you.
Right.
And unfortunately, people have become so weak in their own constitution that they buy into this crap. And that's the part that scares me. These, when they call people sheep, they are literally sheep. And right to the slaughter.
Right.
And John, I love this guy because he knows his stuff. But as we go back and look at history, every time these huge countries have fallen, China, Russia, all of them to communism, we're walking in the exact same footsteps, just with different props.
Right.
That's all it is, different props. But what, you know, socialism is communism light. That's plain and simple. And Canada's a good example. Those people are one step away from becoming a communist country. Completely communist.
Well, they are, Randy. And we're just two steps away from becoming, if we lose this election, we're done.
Yes, sir.
There'll never be another free and fair election in this country ever, because they being the socialist, communist, Democrats, Muslims, they have a formula that if they do win, they know works. And why abandon that? Why not win every election using the same methods? So this is about as serious as it gets. When it comes to this election, the importance of this election, the importance of standing behind President Trump, and of course the importance of President Trump standing his ground and defeating these people, because if he doesn't, we're done as a republic. We're finished.
I'm glad you brought that back around to this election, both of you gentlemen. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman Report. Myself, Randy Taylor, riding shotgun, John Moore, the man, the myth, the legend, John Moore. TheLibertyMan.com is his website. Folks, bookmark that website, listen to his show, and go down, drill down, and support the Liberty Man by way of his products. And hey, you know what? John needs new treads for his TR. I'm kidding, of course. Check out his car, man. It's a pretty neat car. Anyway, thelibertyman.com is his website, the home, the web presence for John Moore. But I'm glad you brought it back down to the election. I want to, if you guys don't mind, I'm going to play 2 minutes and 14 seconds of a video. This is from Saturday. Now, this has to do with what we were talking about earlier, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, and others in the White House Oval during that gala of the governor's gala, but strategizing about, okay, what are our legal options here? What are we going to do? How are we going to structure this so we can expose the fraud in the election? All right, so what's the left telling their people? You remember that, I can't use any descriptive colorful terms to describe this.
Oh, please go ahead.
Oh, I can't, because there would be nothing coming from my mouth that would be able to air on the satellite radio network that we're on. So I'm going to play this, and I can't remember if there are expletives in there. If there are, sorry, but this guy is a real piece of work, Keith Olbermann. I don't know if, but here's his reaction. Keith Olbermann, here's his reaction to our president, still president, folks, meeting with his legal counsel in the Oval. This is Keith Olbermann's reaction. I'm going to get your reaction after you hear this. Go ahead and play it.
This is Olbermann versus Trump, and I'm not Trump. The breaking details of the Friday night meeting in the Oval Office in which conspirators led by Donald Trump discussed their prospects of overthrowing the government of the United States in a military coup has left this nation with no other choice. Sadly, it will all fall to President-elect Biden. He must publicly state that on January 20th, his Department of Justice will act to investigate and to arrest anyone planning such a violent overthrow of the government. The president-elect may need to identify by name Sidney Powell, the delusional, lying attorney behind a series of lawsuits intended to end democracy here, whom Trump proposes to make special counsel to investigate the election. The president-elect may also need to identify by name General Michael Flynn, who also attended this seditious meeting and who has publicly called for the imposition of martial law to overturn the election. And the president-elect may need to identify by name the man who, because he merely wants Trump to issue an executive order seizing all the voting machines, was the moderate in the room, Rudy Giuliani. And the president-elect may need to identify by name Donald John Trump. Hours after the conspirators met, Trump also again proved he is not loyal to the United States, but rather to Russia. He undermined his own puppet Secretary of State's announcement that the mass computer hacking was its work. The danger of what is now Trump's final month of occupation cannot be overstated. This creature, facing state-level indictments he cannot pardon his way out of, sees the laws of this country and its heritage of civilian control of the military merely as objects blocking his way to save himself no matter what the cost. The immediate remedy is as old as the Trump occupation itself. The 25th Amendment is designed to remove a president who has lost all control of his mind or all fealty to the Constitution or, as in this case, both. Sadly, it will not be used. Remedying this coup will fall to President Biden. For while a Trump self-pardon might very well be deemed constitutional, a self-pardon for treason would not be. And what Trump did in the White House, in the Oval Office Friday night, was simply treason.
All right. Treason, seditious, sedition being thrown out by both sides, but specifically in this case by Keith Olbermann. Look, and I'm gonna shoot this to Randy first and then John second, but you take that, that's the worst of the worst. However, that talk is being carried over into CNN, MSNBC in particular, but that level of discussion, okay, and now Saturday, I believe it was, or Sunday, it was Sunday, the Washington Post came out with, I don't know how many, if you folks saw this, with a full page, I think it was Sunday, forgive me if it was not, a full page, and I mean a full open newspaper page, a cartoon of rats, and every rat had the name of a Donald Trump supporter or a Republican either in power or close to power, thus dehumanizing the supporters of President Trump and those working on behalf of the Constitutional Republic. This is exactly what the Nazis did back in Nazi Germany, yet we are the Nazis. So, Randy, I'm going to kick it to you and then you kick it to John, because to me, this is not forgivable, and I don't see us coming back from this particular Rubicon.
It's all, it reeks of desperation. I mean, if you look at it, they've been doing this for the last 4 years. They've done this since Trump's been in office. What kills me is, and what I find amusing, is they're convinced on one hand that Biden's going to go into office, but then they're also out here peddling this propaganda. Well, if you're so convinced that your guy's Biden, he's going to go on the 20th, why are you doing this? So that tells me the desperation. And as far as co-conspirators and all that, if you took the name Adam Schiff and replaced it with Donald Trump and that Olbermann thing just now, that's what we've been looking at for the last 4 years. Take any top Democrat. pull Donald Trump's name out and put it in there. They've been seditious against the United States, conspiring against the United States, trying to overthrow a government, coup, whatever terms you want to use. That's exactly what's been going on for the last 4 years. So Olbermann, he can kiss my ass. I don't care. This is desperation. The more he talks, the more we realize that he really don't know what he's talking about.
John?
Well, first of all, who's this guy work for? CNN's carrying reports and MSNBC. Who does he really work
well,
for?
Well, yeah.
The highest bidder.
That's true. He has his own podcast. He used to be a sports guy, and then he was on the MSNBC, and then he developed a following of his own on on his own podcast now. And each day it comes out with just what you heard, but it's even ramping up even more, calling for, you know.
Well, he's using strong language that is inappropriate for this discussion. Strong language that could lead people who don't know any better to draw some inappropriate conclusions and maybe act on the inappropriate language, thinking they were doing the right thing. It's very dangerous. That little 2 minutes was the equivalent of yelling fire in a crowded theater. It really was. The man is showing no journalistic responsibility whatsoever, no civic responsibility whatsoever. His words could easily lead to a person committing acts of violence that maybe a person who has a marginal grip on reality, as I sometimes refer to people. It's very unfortunate that we've got to that point. Now, one thing I agree with what he said is that, to paraphrase it, that President Trump wants to end democracy. Well, ending democracy is a good thing. We want to have a republic, not a democracy. And that's why the Democrats want to eliminate the Electoral College, is because they want a democracy and not a republic. But I've noticed for years that men and women who should know better, both in the mass media and elected officials, frequently refer to our republic as a democracy. They know better. They know exactly what they're doing. And they keep using that word democracy over and over again, to the point where people think democracy is a good thing, which it's not. Whenever democracy was mentioned in the Federalist Papers, it was not mentioned in glowing or good terms at all. The Founding Fathers did everything they could to prevent our country from becoming a democracy. Electoral College, as I said a moment ago, is to prevent us from becoming a democracy. And you keep hearing these terms, oh, one man, one vote. You know, well, that sounds good if you're a third grader, but if you know how the world works, you know they're talking about democracy and how basically 10 or 20 zip codes could control the whole country. That's how bad this is. If we want to have a democracy, 10 or 20 zip codes would control the entire United States, because that's where the people are.
So if you look at a breakout of the map, that's what we're looking at. These little blue pockets, small little blue pockets that held tons of votes.
Exactly.
Anyway, hence the Electoral College. To make sure that, and people, you're right, John. This is why the assailment, the Electoral College is being assailed, because, you know, we don't want New York City telling middle of Ohio or Iowa what they're pushing the demands onto the rural areas, the flyover areas. So this is why the attack on the Electoral College, and you're right, and both of you are right. So I guess I didn't really have to say that, but I get that. It's a big deal. Go ahead.
Well, we've already seen some of that in much of the country. When I buy a new shower head, I have to remove the California water restriction device so I can take a shower properly. We did have 5-gallon flush toilets here around here up until recently, and a lot of homes still have them. So now we've got 3-gallon flush twice toilets. That's a result of California also. Sometimes this stuff's funny, gentlemen. Now my hometown, St. Louis, has two of the world's largest rivers on the north side and the east side. That's the Missouri River and the Mississippi River. And then a not so big river on the south side, the Merrimack. And back in the 70s, waitresses started asking the customers if they wanted a glass of water with their meal. to save water, despite being surrounded by two of the largest rivers on the planet. That's just California stuff spreading throughout the country. People think it's cool. People think it's neat. And California has a big enough market share that they can control the showerheads for the rest of the country. What's wrong with that picture? And so, Randy, do you do the same thing when you install a new showerhead to remove the California water restriction device?
You pretty much have to. I didn't know you were from St. Louis. I spent a great deal of my life in the Lindbergh, Lehme, Ferry area.
Well, I know the area quite well. Yeah, absolutely.
I'll be damned.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
It's a small world. I mean, it's interesting how and I was going to tell you about that. I was going to tell you both about that commonality there, but, yeah. Yeah. Randy,
well,
go
gentlemen,
ahead. John, go ahead.
Well, we got our work cut out for us. I mean, we have a platform here to reach out to people. There's probably going to be, it looks like, the largest Trump rally ever on the Capitol Mall the first week of January. I'm not sure what it would accomplish, but it's certainly going to draw, probably a quarter million, half a million or more people. I don't know. I'm not sure what purpose it would serve, but if it does serve a good purpose, I'm all in favor of it.
What do you think the federal authorities' reception to that will be?
There's overlapping jurisdictions. You've got Maryland, you've got Virginia, you've got the Capitol Police, you've got all these different federal agencies that have some jurisdiction, of course, the president himself. Typically, as long as these rallies are peaceful, the police just stand aside and wave to the people as they walk by. But there's lots of unknowns here. I could see easily George Soros-funded infiltrators causing violence in any kind of group like that. In fact, I would almost expect it.
I think Antifa will make a showing there.
Right. Well, we know Antifa's going to show up, of course.
And Black Lives Matter. Might even see some of these Georgia homegrown black militias coming up there.
Possibly with their 22 caliber, wannabe AR-15s.
Yeah. And 410 shotguns.
Exactly. Well, you want to look like they're soldiers, but they're not. Anyway, gentlemen, we've seen this past year, we've seen the whole country turned upside down on falsehoods. Now, when I first saw the video of George Floyd, I thought, man, this is going to be trouble. I thought, man, we really got something bad going on here. Until I found out that George Floyd killed himself with enough fentanyl to kill two men and with a little heroin chaser on top of it. And that the officer kneeling on his neck was using a officially approved restraint procedure, which causes no harm to anybody. And then after these cities burned down, then they released a tape of George Floyd handcuffed in the back of the cruiser saying, "I can't breathe, I can't breathe," and removed at his request because he couldn't breathe and put on the ground where he expired from a drug overdose. So we had all this turmoil in all these cities based on a complete fraud and these officers being prosecuted for something that was the proper use of proper police techniques. All of which is politically correct, of course, to prosecute these men for doing what they were supposed to do. So we've got the two big issues this year were the make-believe pandemic and the George Floyd-related riots, both of which are a fantasy. I'll be glad when this year is over. We got a few days left, and I'm ready for the new year. How about yourself, Randy?
Absolutely ready for a new year, and I hope it brings something much better. A quick question. With all this push and propaganda to defund the police, defund the police, defund the police, do you think that they're thinking, like with the Biden administration or whatever, whoever ends up in the White House, as far as Biden resigns or whoever ends up in there, if Trump doesn't get in, on the defund the police, do you think that they want to pull the police back so they can bring in some other sort of governing force on the people? On the people?
We can speculate about what they plan on doing. All we know is what they say. They want to have psychological professionals team up with police officers. Of course, police officers do receive psychological training because a lot of the people they're dealing with have a psychosis, or they're intoxicated, or both. So that's part of a cop's daily life, is dealing with people who I might say have a loose grip on reality.
Right.
Putting a man or a woman in a patrol car that is trained as a psychologist and not trained to defend themselves with firearms or hand-to-hand combat is a massive mistake. Unless they go to three-man patrol cars where they got two real officers and a psychological professional, which is unlikely, there's going to be some tragedies come out of that, because these officers, if it's a two-man patrol car, they count on their partner to back them up and make sure that they get through their shift alive. A psychological professional who's unarmed and untrained won't be able to do that. They'll be able to stand back and maybe scream or something if it's a woman, and not be able to help the officer that needs assistance. If they do defund the police, which they're already doing in some cities, they'll end up with complete chaos. We're already seeing massive resignations from New York City Police Department. And typically officers don't leave these jobs. They stay till they retire. But when you got large numbers of resignations, you know your department's in trouble. It's in deep trouble. These guys will put up with a lot before they'll resign.
How does the left benefit from the chaos, though, from a governing standpoint?
Well, then they can implement the things that they really want. Order out of chaos.
Which could be a military force even coming.
Well, if it's bad enough, I could easily see the governor of California or the mayor of Chicago calling in the United Nations forces. We already had a Chicago City Councilman call for United Nations to be on the streets of America. Of course, President Trump is not going to allow that, but President Biden may very well allow that. And that may be the end goal, is to get foreign troops on American soil. You really don't want to be dealing with Pakistanis or, men from Kazakhstan or some other third world country dealing with Americans on the streets of America. That would be an absolute disaster.
Yep. It'd be a shooting gallery.
All right. They usually use these soldiers from the third world countries are the least expensive, so they're always trying to save money. So you get soldiers from Pakistan really cheap.
Yeah.
Oh, seriously, that's what happens.
Look, I back the blue. I really do. I'm in favor of the police. You guys know that. But I'm getting a little bit tired. I'm getting a little bit chapped by some of these police officers who are enforcing illegal government mandates. For example, in Florida, there was a video of a woman. I don't know whether either one of you saw this, but down in one of the public libraries down there, and she was there with her two children. She was without a mask, not bothering anyone. The library was virtually empty. And the next thing you see is this female police officer dressed like a SWAT officer, but minus the helmet and stuff, but I don't want to overstate it, walking in and telling her that she had to leave because she was causing a disturbance. Why? Not wearing a mask. Well, DeSantis had said, no, we're not enforcing any of this, any of the mask mandates. But yet this police officer did. So I guess the reason I said that is, gentlemen, I'm finding it really difficult to back the police officers who are following these unconstitutional orders, okay? And I think I speak for a lot of people who are getting a little bit chapped by this Nuremberg defense. What do you guys think?
Well, there was another video earlier this year. Woman was watching a child's outdoor athletic event, sitting in bleachers in the open air, not indoors, open air, without a mask. And this officer confronts her and basically ends up roughing her up in the process of arresting her because she wouldn't put on a mask. Totally unacceptable, completely unacceptable. This woman was sitting on bleachers outside, not causing any harm to anybody. And this officer was out of line. But to answer your question, Doug, I found this out as a 20-year-old in the Army. that men will put their paycheck and their pension ahead of doing the right thing. When I got back from Vietnam, I was in the Special Forces at Fort Bragg, and I was only 21 years old when I got back from Vietnam. And the guys I was working with, are many of them were old enough to be my father, mid to late 40s, early to mid 50s, easily old enough to be my father. And they'd had 20, 25 years in the Army, and they weren't about to jeopardize their career, their pension, their paycheck, and their families' financial well-being to say or do anything about the illegal, immoral war that they were part of in Vietnam. That was not going to happen. And it's a very strong motivator. Your family's financial security, your paycheck, your pension you've worked for so long, to get men and women to keep quiet and to continue doing what they're doing, even if it is extra legal, shall we say. You know, the woman in that library, she was doing the wrong thing, obviously. I don't know how bad it got or if it was, you know, if it got physical or not. The woman in that athletic event, that was totally off the charts crazy. Or that officer using physical force to arrest this woman who would not put on a mask at an outdoor sporting event.
That's ridiculous.
These are the matters that we know about. There's probably hundreds of similar ones that we don't know about.
And what John's saying about people being more concerned with their pensions and their paychecks, absolutely correct. Because, and that's the part that concerns me, is those persons in the military. I was in the Army too, back in the early 80s. Those persons scare me because they would be the ones that would turn on the citizenry in the country. And that's a scary prospect. When I dealt with the FBI, and I'll go ahead and call them out, after 9/11, you know, you would go to them with certain things and I was working with them. So it was open discussion to talk. But if they had 25 years in, you weren't going to get anything out of them. They would not take a risk of any kind because they were right at retirement or within 5 years of retirement. And that's what John was describing.
Well, actually, it's worse than that, Randy. The reputation of the FBI within law enforcement is it's a one-way street for information. Unless it serves their selfish interest to provide you the information, it's not going to happen. It's always been a one-way street of information going to the FBI, nothing coming back.
Right. I would agree with that. Doug and I used to laugh about that. I would turn it into them. They'd mark it confidential, and then we'd go to discuss, and they'd go, well, we can't discuss it with this confidential. Okay. I used to go over this stuff with Doug. I've known him about 20 years now, and we used to sit there and just scratch our heads and go, what the hell's going on here with these people?
It's crazy. Right. Yeah. I mean, all of this, again, taking a few steps back and looking at the bigger picture, this is my view, guys. And all of this, coming to a head here by January 20th. And even after January 20th, I do believe if the worst happens, I believe that the movement that has begun is going to just continue right past the 20th. And, you know, it's going to be a hell of a show. I'll tell you that, or a hell of a deal. But, I don't know. I'm looking at the bigger picture here, and I'm seeing, that we have as a country, folks, we have been attacked asymmetrically as a country. I mean, this to me is the epitome of asymmetrical warfare, Sun Tzu kind of thing from communist China, with a little bit of Marxism, Russian Marxism, flavored Marxism tossed in here. I don't know. I'm just looking at this from a larger perspective. So if this is not, kind of going back to what Oberman had said, that knucklehead in my view, if this is not worked out, we're in for some really, really troubling times. And I don't know.
Well, I think whatever happens, Trump's got to call the ball. But whatever direction this goes, because there's overwhelming evidence. But you can present evidence all day long, but who are you presenting it to? Mm-hmm. That's the problem here. Nobody wants to listen to it. Anybody that's in authority is shirking their responsibilities here. So we can pile evidence. Evidence, film, video, witnesses. It does it at this point. It's getting ridiculous because that's really just a big pile that's going nowhere.
Right. Well, Well, somebody at the level of General Flynn suggests implementing the Insurrection
Thank
Act.
Thank you. Yes.
General Flynn is somebody who's highly regarded within the Trump administration. He was the National Security Advisor to the President there before the FBI destroyed his career, his reputation, his family, for financial wherewithal and everything. But that didn't change how he's regarded by President Trump. So when somebody like General Flynn suggests implementing the Insurrection Act, I have no doubt that that was at least discussed over the weekend. I didn't know until a few months ago that the conversation was taking place Friday. So we had Sidney Powell and General Flynn in the White House Friday evening, all day Saturday, and maybe part of the day Sunday. I've been in some complex, lengthy meetings, gentlemen, and at that level, the legal pads are filling up, the coffee pots are brewing, and you take breaks as you need to. Otherwise, it's very intense work with very few breaks to accomplish very specific goals. And that's enough time to accomplish some major goals. What do you think, Randy?
I would agree with you. I want to, whatever it is, it has to be swift and it's going to have to be decisive. I've often told Doug this. The one thing I want President Trump to always be able to say is that he exhausted all his other resources.
Right.
And I admire that, because a lot of people would have went to guns sooner.
Well, he wants to be on the right side of history.
Absolutely.
He has a legacy he wants to leave intact, I'm sure, as most presidents do. And, he will leave his legacy intact by exhausting all legal remedies first.
Yes,
and then once that's happened, which may or may not be successful, then the Insurrection Act comes into play, in my opinion. What do you think, Randy?
I absolutely agree with you, sir.
Well, today, John Eastman was on with Steve Bannon today and talking about the Pennsylvania case, which is really an interesting case. Going to the petition before the Supreme Court, Pennsylvania, my home state here, where I'm broadcasting from. What a cluster, this has been. Okay. But the campaign filed a petition and motion, asking for an expedited consideration before the U.S. Supreme Court. The substance, which was filed of the petition, is a request to reverse some Pennsylvania Supreme Court decisions. Now, this is the first direct filing to the U.S. Supreme Court for intervention in the election, which I didn't realize. And it seeks an expedited resolution or consideration, at least prior to January 6, 2021. And let me just kind of touch a little bit more on this. I don't have a lot of faith, okay, that any of this is going to make any, you know, a damn bit of difference as far as the Supreme Court is concerned. But when you look at the petition, it raises a lot of good points. And folks, you can go to HagmanReport.com for the petition itself. And you don't have to do it now. It's there. And so when gentlemen, both of you, at what point, when's enough enough? At what point is that? Does Donald Trump say, "Okay, I'm done. I've done everything I could." What day is that? What time is that? What event is that? This is what I'm looking for, because I believe this might be our last normal Christmas for quite some time. This is my view, but what do you guys think?
Hey, that's a tough one, Doug. It's going to have to be before the 20th. So, John, how much time would he need to get the Insurrection Act into place and do what he needs to do?
I think he can issue an order at 9 o'clock in the morning, and it would be completely in place before the end of the business day at 5 p.m. In addition, I believe is one of these attorneys, Lynn Wood, is that right?
Yes.
Gentlemen?
Lynn Wood, yes, sir.
I believe it was he who claims to have access to an audio recording of Chief Justice Roberts, that if released publicly would cause Chief Justice Roberts to resign his position. I hope that's true, because he's not our.
No, what's that?
Well, yeah. That's what we don't know. We don't know what's on the audio recording.
Oh, okay.
But I hope it's true. Chief Justice Roberts needs to go into retirement. And there's lots of speculation about what blackmail material certain people may have on him. Apparently, his name appears on the flights to the island. That was where all the activity was taking place, shall we say? So I hope that there's lots of glimmers of hope here and there. One thing that makes sense to me, gentlemen, is President Trump figuring out 2 years ago that he had to lay a trap for these people. And the trap is in the process of being sprung. You don't want to mess with this guy. He's brilliant. He's a strategist and he knows what he's doing. He knows how to get the right people. I believe he's finally got the right people with Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, General Flynn and others, the right people to save the Republic. And I think there's a high likelihood that we're going to see multiple arrests at some point in the not too distant future. What do you think, Randy?
My question would be, and you would know this far better than I, those type of arrests that we're talking about, would those fall under a civil jurisdiction or would that go to a military type?
Well, if the Insurrection Act is implemented, then it would be military making those arrests. That would be U.S. Marshals.
I think at this point, and from what I've seen at the last 4 years under President Trump, the DOJ is useless. If anything, they work against the man.
Well, so that's probably the case so far.
My faith would be in the military. I hate to see, and I'll be honest with you, sir, I hate to see that. I was hoping in my lifetime.
Well, we have no choice. You do what you got to do. If it means saving the Republic, I'm all for it.
I absolutely agree. You hate to see certain things.
Well, you do. We went through that in the 60s where U.S. military was deployed on American streets in Chicago, Los Angeles, other places to Detroit. And, it was horrible.
Yeah.
Seeing the U.S. military deployed against American civilians. But that's what happened. And quite frankly, at the time, I can't see any alternative at the time. The communists were spinning wildly out of control.
Mm-hmm.
And the U.S. military had the best solution at the time. We hate to see that happen again, but if it has to happen, it has to.
The only other time I've really looked in, and I'm right around 60, so you have more experience as far as the Vietnam era. The thing that kind of fascinated me in history is this anti-Trump, this Trump derangement syndrome, this hatred of this man. The only thing I've even seen that seemed to be similar would go all the way back to Nixon. Am I pretty correct in that assessment?
That's pretty close. Yep.
Okay. All right. Because that liberal left sentiment against Nixon and against the war and this and that was pretty hateful. And bear in mind, I was just a little guy.
Well, being a little older helps. I recall during those Wall Street protests, the songs and chants were basically taken right out of the 60s, word for word, chant for chant, when they were doing those Wall Street riots a few years ago. Same people, same leadership, same goals, all part of the international communist conspiracy, Randy.
Right.
They're back, they never went away. They've been
implanted in our society, embedded in our society right. for a long time.
Well, they concentrate where they can have the most effect. The communists focused on taking over all the schools that teach journalism, for example, and the schools that teach teachers. And if you can do those two things, you can pretty much control the whole country in terms of the way the country thinks and what the country believes. Mm-hmm. And they've done both. They've taken over all the, there may be one or two exceptions, but for the most part, all journalism schools, and for the most part, all schools that teach teachers.
Mm-hmm.
As a consequence, half the adults in this country are either illiterate or semi-literate, including my wonderful son-in-law. He's a great guy, good provider, wonderful husband and father. But he says, John, if I want to read something, I have to close the door, have complete silence, and really concentrate. And that's pretty common for men and women under age 50 in our country because they weren't taught phonics. And any and every word that's unfamiliar, they can't figure it out very easily anyway because they weren't taught phonics.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have about half the adults in this country either illiterate or semi-literate. That makes them a lot more easier to control, Randy, because their news comes from 30-second and 60-second sound bites, mm-hmm. as opposed to reading something, because reading is not fun. Reading is not pleasant. And it's all by design. Mm-hmm. This didn't just happen on its own. We took a wonderful education system up to the mid-1930s. And in fact, Randy, you probably had the Dick and Jane readers as a boy, didn't you?
Absolutely. I remember that. Yes.
Well,
yes.
That was the beginning.
Eric, the text still does. But go on.
Well, that was the beginning of sight reading and taking away phonics.
Yeah.
And that's by design also. We had an educational system that, you know, the basics of any and all education is two things, mathematics and language.
Mm-hmm.
And they've destroyed both basically in the public schools. I know locally the children that get scholarships, their parents basically spend a lot of time outside the classroom teaching their children phonics and coaching them and encouraging them to do things that public schools can't and won't do.
Yeah, well, I thank God that my parents were so big on reading. My father pushed reading on me because he couldn't read. He really couldn't read, and he swore on his life that his son was going to be able to read. And I used to have to read books before I could go outside and play when I was 4 and 5 years old. And Doug and I were just talking about this last week on one of the shows. It's like you said, this 30-second sound bites. People read the headline, but they don't read the article.
If they can read it all, right.
Thank you. Thank you. And these 30-second sound bites, that monotonous drone in the background, that CNN 24 hours a day, every 30 minutes, they play it over. And okay. it's a psychological thing where they're embedding this in your mind. And you're right. I'm sorry, but we're inundated with stupidity in this country.
Well, we are.
And I hate to say that. That's almost a very rude term, but I don't know how else to describe these people, sir.
If it's true, you know, that's unfortunate.
Call it like you see it.
If it's an accurate, truthful assessment, that's too bad if it's rude, because it is accurate. And I know in my job as a criminal defense investigator, the first interview I would do with the man and woman charged with a crime, I always take a magazine or newspaper with me and ask the defendant to read a couple of paragraphs to get some kind of idea of their level of literacy.
Oh, okay.
And it was shocking how many could not read a paragraph or two from a regular newspaper or a magazine publication, nothing like the Atlantic Monthly or something like that, but just a regular newspaper, which are written at the third grade level, by the way. Shocking and disappointing that adults don't even have a third grade level of literacy.
Yes.
Yeah. Which the U.S. Army considers you literate if you can read at the third grade level, by the way.
Yeah. And you and I both know that some recruiters would get people in that couldn't read, period.
Well, it was actually worse than that. During Vietnam, Secretary of Defense, he decided they were having trouble getting enough people for the military. They decided to start bringing in men with a marginal IQ that were basically running a 70 or 75 IQ. And they had a special school set up, and, you know, I was back at Bragg and with military intelligence at the time, and they took military intelligence analysts to become coaches for these young men. They would spend, I guess it was 4 weeks, maybe 6 or 8 weeks, attempting to get these young men to read at a third grade level. And they kept them inside a fenced compound, because if they didn't, they would wander off into traffic and hurt themselves. But, seriously, that was McNamara. That was McNamara. It was a complete and total failure is what it was. And we had one of these guys in my outfit in Vietnam, and the poor guy, I mean, he was frightened to death that he was going to get killed any moment. The first sergeant put him under my charge. He said, Moore, take care of this guy. And as I did, I made sure he didn't hurt himself or hurt anybody else. But it was a disaster. It was a disaster.
Yeah.
Any fool can die on the battlefield, but you have to have at least average IQ to stay alive on the battlefield. If you have any hope at all staying alive on the battlefield, you have to have at least an average IQ or above.
Well, I didn't realize the illiteracy in the Army. Our first sergeant would post things on the company bulletin board. And so Top put this up there. And the guy walks up next to me, and I won't give his last name. God bless him. John, we'll call him. He said, "What does it say?" And I said, "What's right there?" And the poor guy says, I can't read. And I was like, oh my God. I mean, there's some things in a typical Army unit. I was 11 Bravo, typical Army unit that you have to be able to at least read to do it. Right. You know what I mean?
He was not a foreign national. The guy couldn't read. Was not a foreign national. Native-born American.
It scared me.
Well, it should. It should. But, point being, gentlemen, whoever influences the most illiterate American voters will win any and all elections.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are.
Yes, sir.
And, I spent 3 days with a presidential campaign chairperson. She was a presidential campaign for 3 different presidential campaigns down in her home in Florida. 2 of her advisors were there. And I'll tell you guys, I learned some stuff. What really goes on at that level. For example, the candidates learn to speak a different way when they're in public as opposed to when they're in private with their friends and associates and family, which brings up something I occasionally mention. The first presidential election that I recall was Adlai Stevenson against President Eisenhower in 1956. And, of course, I was reading the paper, and the newspaper said, Adlai Stevenson is too intellectual to be president of the United States. And my 10-year-old brain couldn't make sense of that. How can you possibly be too intellectual to be president of the United States? Well, it turns out that's 100% accurate. Stevenson did not get that advice to segue from his normal intellectual level of conversation to talking the way that average people talk. He couldn't do that. Eisenhower didn't have that problem, obviously. He could talk as a normal guy. That's just who he was. But these candidates now, they receive training to segue from their normal conversation that they have, the vocabulary, their diction, the way they deliver any given topic, to downgrade it to be acceptable to the average Joe on the street. It doesn't just happen. They're trained to do that, Randy.
Oh, yeah, I guess it would have to be to appeal to all voters. The other thing that you mentioned about the voters, remember Pelosi some time ago, I'm going to say 18 months ago or so, considering pushing, dropping the voter age.
Oh, yes.
That in itself scare anyone.
Yeah, the difference in maturity between a 16-year-old and an 18-year-old is massive. It's a canyon between the two.
Well, how about when you were 18 or when I was 18 versus what we see at 18 today, the maturity level? That's frightening in itself.
Well, let me punch in here with this, guys, too, because since you're on this topic, I'm looking at this in the larger sense. Dropping the voter age, okay? Then we had the motor voter registration way back when. I think it was under Clinton. And then now there's a push for, hey, if you're illegal, no problem. We're not going to ask you any questions. And we're seeing the results of all of this now. And they weaponized every one of these in this most recent presidential election. And that's the voter fraud. That's not the larger election fraud involving the machines and the software and everything else. So we're getting hit on all sides from all this. But it's that mentality that both of you spoke of. And folks, my guest every Monday, of course, is John Moore, thelibertyman.com. Bookmark his website, support the Liberty Man, his products, and go there for news, go there for his radio show. That's thelibertyman.com. And flying with me, is my wingman and co-host is, Randy Taylor, of course, Randy Taylor at HagmanReport.com. If you want to send him an email, I know he looks forward to them all. But, this, again, back to, wink, wink.
Thanks, Doug.
Yeah, you're welcome.
I'll see you in Iowa, sir.
Yeah, welcome to the party. Okay. I'm looking forward to that too. I can't wait. The announcement is going to shake the world.
You have to tell John off the air about that one.
Yeah.
Okay, I look forward to it.
Yeah, indeed. But so we're seeing, you know, John, what you've been saying, like, for every time that we've been together, this alliance, the Islamic, the communist, the socialist, that, you know, they've pulled out every stop to take us down in this election. And you know what? We've been really nice to a fault. Haven't we? I mean, the right has been passive. We've been, okay, you know, we're not going to say anything bad. We're, you know, play by the rules. Well, they're not playing by the rules. We're going to, you know, keep to the laws. Well, they're not, the laws are gone. So I don't know, guys.
Well, the combination of changing the demographics, which is the real impetus behind illegal immigration, is to change demographics of the voters. The combination of that and the vote fraud means, you know, if they're successful with the vote fraud this time, they will never lose another election. They simply right. won't at the national level. And many jurisdictions, they won't lose either with the vote fraud and changing demographics, which means we'll be forever in a minority at the mercy of the socialists, communists, Democrats, Muslims to do whatever they want. There's a belief, and I agree with it, that Joe Biden would begin putting in place all the protocols to have our military be in a position where they have no choice but to surrender to the Chinese. And he could do that relatively quickly with a number of executive orders to put our military on stand down, fire generals that are patriots, for example, and do other things that would harm our military to the point where they could not resist a Chinese invasion.
Are there enough, John, are there enough people in command in the military that would go along with Biden in a situation like that, sir?
Well, they'll be given no choice. If they, once they're taken off active duty, they won't have a command anymore. Yeah. I don't know if President Trump is bringing back the flag rank officers fired by Hussein Obama. I hope he is. I'm sure General Flynn has recommended that he bring back the patriotic flag rank officers that were fired and go ahead and fire the deep state general officers that need to be fired, put them into retirement. That's what needs to happen, so we can rely on the flag rank officers to carry out orders immediately to be effective, to do whatever the president needs to be done. It's
any success.
Yeah, we're on as the saying might go, we're in uncharted waters here. We don't know how deep the water is. We don't know where the dirt stops and the water begins. We simply don't know. There's no precedence for what we're going through here, gentlemen. There's none at all.
And that brings me back around to John. You mentioned this, and Randy and I spoke about this, and John. In fact, last week we had Sam Andrews on. I think it was last week. It could have been last year, for all I know. I mean,
it was last week.
Okay,
it was last week. Sure.
All right.
On Monday.
Yeah. Thanks, Randy. Yeah, about going to Washington on the 6th. It was originally the 4th. Now. Apparently, it changed it to the 6th, and I'm waiting for something to be up to point so people can know what's going on. But there seems to be a call for people to gather in Washington on the 6th. Here's my question. Okay, so we're told to stand strong, hold the line, all right? And we want to. We very desperately want to. We want to fight for President Trump. But what's that going to look like? What do we have to do? What does it mean in reality? Do we have to, and I'm asking this seriously, do we have, and with sobriety, do we have to storm the Capitol building? Do we have to, what does this mean?
I'm thinking about that, Doug, as you speak, and I'll tell you what I believe at the moment. First of all, there'll be a very large professional stage with lights and professional sound equipment set up. On the Capitol Mall.
BFD. When has that changed anything?
Let me
continue.
Yes, sir.
The congressmen and senators who support President Trump are all going to want to be in front of their constituents nationwide supporting President Trump. Hopefully including, Vice President Pence. Now, the 6th day of January is when the Vice President chooses which electoral college votes to accept and which ones to reject. That's a massive power that Vice President Pence has.
One more time.
The 6th day of January is when the Vice President opens up the envelopes with electoral college votes. And it's his prerogative to accept or reject electoral college votes because in several states.
Let me correct you on that. No. It's by law. It's by constitutional law. It's not his prerogative. It's his duty to
duty
not to select the contentions the illegal electors.
Precisely. I misspoke myself. You're right, Doug. And anyway, it takes place on the 6th day of January, and we hope that he'll pick the right electoral college votes. If he does, that's a possible win right there. A lot of speculation about Vice President Pence and what he may or may not do. I don't know if he has any aspirations to be president. Quite frankly, I don't think he has the personality to fill up a stadium like President Trump.
I agree with
you. Who he is. But
what about how do you feel about his loyalty to President Trump?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering.
Well, a lot of people wonder that, and I'm not sure I've got a clear picture one way or the other. So far, I'm not aware of any disloyalty on the part of Vice President Pence. Typically, a vice president is at the end of their political career when they leave that office. There's been a few, obviously, who've run for president and won. But typically, that's the end of the career, and they get a teaching assignment at a major university, write books, and go on speaking tours. That's typically what happens with vice presidents, which means one of his main goals will be to preserve his place on the right side of history. And I'm sure Vice President Pence understands the severity, the magnitude of the power that he will have on the 6th day of January. It's huge. Now, he could determine, or he will determine, it's not a matter of could, he will determine the future of this republic by what he does or does not do that day.
Question. Everybody goes back to that film at Bush Sr.'s funeral, where everybody got their little envelopes or whatever, Pence got one too.
Right.
By virtue of him getting in that envelope, whatever, we don't know what's in the envelopes, does that put him with that group politically? Well, your thought, just your gut feeling.
Well, I try to live in a world of evidence, and the evidence is foggy at best.
Right.
You know,
I've been out to lunch on that one, too. I've looked at that video over and over.
It's fun, Randy and Doug, to speculate, but that's all it is speculation as to the contents of those notes.
Thank you.
And who authored those notes? Who just, you know, was it something that George H.W. Bush wrote prior to his death? Was it something from President Trump?
I don't know. Could have said you're out of the will, Jeb. I mean, who knows?
Maybe.
You're double parked, Jeb.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, yeah, Randy, you asked that question about those envelopes. And, you know, I've looked at that video, too, and I don't know. I don't know. I just don't know about any of that. But what I do know is we've been kicked around. As Christians, conservatives, or conservatives who are Christian, whatever you want, but people on the right, we've been pushed around and we followed the rules. We've been polite, but I think the time for being polite is over. I really do. And if I'm going to show up in Washington on the 6th of January, I want to have this is just me and you guys. I mean, I'm going there for take care of business. Okay. When I say that, I'm not trying to be a, you know, muscles behind the microphone. But I want it to count for something. I don't want to just sit there and listen to speakers and clap and, you know, like walruses and okay, then go home and not change anything. We need to change this. We need to say, no, not anymore. Not on our watch. But I'm just not sure how we accomplish all that. I just don't know. That's all.
I'm not either. I'm not sure what having a couple hundred thousand or even a million people in the Capitol Mall is going to do to change anything.
Not unless a million people, let's go right into their flipping offices. And you know,
I agree with you. I think some of those people need to be pulled out of their offices and dealt with. But at the same time, I look to the president to make the call. And I'll tell you right now, I mean, if he put the call on, said, you know, and I want patriots to show up and we're taking back the country, guess what? It'd probably be 5 million people would show up there.
Right.
But we have to hear from the president. What's happening on the 6th is fantastic as far as it just puts things in a little more perspective. This isn't like 200 people in Antifa bullying old people in Seattle. Okay. This is going to be a half a million people armed and behaving themselves, professionals, making a showing. That's quite a strong message unto itself, but will it fall on deaf ears? Probably. President Trump has to make the call.
Well, if the president calls people to show up on January 6th, there'll be a quarter million people at least on the Capitol Mall.
Easy. I'd say easy, yeah. Sir. Yes, sir.
And we shall see.
Yes, sir.
But as far as doing anything active, Doug, I'm personally not going to be part of any mob violence, undisciplined men and women who do not have a chain of command, a mission statement, and organization. I'm simply not going to put myself in that position. There has to be organization, a mission statement, a chain of command to do anything other than be on the Capitol Mall and clap. You know, I don't see that yet.
No, sir.
If it happens, that's great, but the organization has to already exist right now. There's not time to set up a new organization and do it properly with a.
Yeah, we're late to that party.
Right, right.
Anything that if anybody pursued that direction, it'd be a disaster.
It'd be a massive disaster for many reasons.
And a lot of people calling for blood and this and that, you know, that's a really serious thing when you talk about shooting another human being.
Yes.
Well,
there's a lot of armchair warriors.
It's easy to make these threats on a keyboard. It's something else to being faced with physical violence on the street, which I've had that confrontation many times in my life. And I know, gentlemen, you have also, so I don't see any organization right now that's willing to exercise leadership in this January 6th event other than let's come to Washington, D.C., go to the Capitol Mall, listen to speeches, and clap.
Right.
I'm okay with that, with a bunch of untrained, unorganized men and women with no chain of command, with no mission statement. Anything other than that, we need something we don't have, which is organization, a mission statement, and a chain of command.
Yes.
And I don't see that existing now or in the next 2 weeks.
In 2 weeks would be pretty short order.
You know what? I agree that 2 weeks would be ambitious, but I see a lot of people ready to do just that. And look, I get emails. Randy, I know you do. John, I suspect you
as well.
Yeah,
but it's...
Go ahead.
But it's unorganized. Okay. Any idiot can run out there and get themselves killed. That doesn't take any talent or skill. Okay. And the idea is always live to fight another day.
Absolutely.
What John said is correct. It'd be a slaughter. It would be unprecedented slaughter, and it would hurt any credibility that the patriotic movement would have in the future.
Let me rephrase that because it may be misunderstood. You're right. At this point, I don't see any organization. I just see Stop the Steal, you know, for example, as one organization, one of several, that are going to be there. Sam Andrews group or Sam Andrews is, you know, calling for, a presence there as well. That's an armed contingent. But here's what I'm saying, I guess. I'm saying that I think we have enough time given the right people making the calls where that 6th of January event could be purposeful. Now, John, I would disagree. That's where I disagree with John. I think it may not be perfect, but it might be more purposeful than just a bunch of people, you know.
may not be perfect is a pretty loose interpretation of what that disaster would be.
But the alternative is the alternative, in my view, is that fight is just going to be delayed. A fight will just be delayed because I think that, and I'm not talking, I'm not wishing.
I think the 6th will be a brilliant show of support for the president, but I think that's about it. And I think if we ask any more out of that, we're making a mistake. Okay. I mean, that's just my personal opinion and based on experience. I'm sure John would agree with me on that.
I do agree.
This has to be done correctly or it's just going to be blood in the street. and nothing gets resolved with that when it's our blood.
Live the fight another day. You're right.
Yeah, exactly. The idea is to make the other guy die for what he believes in, not run into the field of fire yourself.
You know, I want to, and you keep calling him Alexander Soros, the son of George, is the guy leading that charge. His people will be there. Antifa people, Black Lives Matter, they will be there. As Randy mentioned, maybe the black militia from Georgia and wherever they're from, of course they're going to be there. Yep. And they have a reputation for being violent already. The Proud Boys will probably be there. That's almost a given. Other groups, I think the Virginia militia will be there, is what I've heard from Sam Andrews. These conflicting groups with different mission statements and different ways of accomplishing their goals is a prescription for chaos and violence, I believe, and accomplishing nothing that we're going to want to accomplish other than people getting hurt and property getting destroyed. I don't see where we have a positive effect at all on the U.S. Congress or the U.S. Senate, either one.
I concur.
Wow. I guess I'm outvoted to some extent, or at least a,
Yeah, because we're such a democracy here, sir.
Yeah. You're having me for lunch, right? I'm looking at an article from, American Thinker that was published this morning from Carol Brown, who's talking about this very issue. Who said, let's see here. As Trump supporters, we've tolerated mockery, scorn, threats, marginalization, and attacks. As our voices are silenced, our reputations and livelihoods are stripped away. We've all seen that. And, you know, this is the other thing, too. We as independent journalists or independent platforms, I don't call myself a journalist. I'm more of a investigator with a microphone than a journalist. But anyway. We've seen this happen with, Alex Jones. I can see where they're going to make an example out of him in a Biden administration, God forbid, where, you know, he'll be given the, Roger Stone treatment. But they're marginalizing us. They're silencing us. If you think the stuff on Twitter is bad, the censorship is bad on Twitter or Facebook, you haven't seen anything yet. But the Carol, Brown from writing for American Thinker said there's much more in store. The left wants to silence us permanently and completely, never to rise to power again. And they're on the threshold of pulling it off. And then she goes to say, okay, we're going to be in Washington on the 6th of January. Who is willing to travel to Washington on the 6th of January to attend what could be a historic protest scheduled for the same day the joint session of Congress meets to make the Electoral College votes official, and so on. But where she gets into the meat here, she writes this, and then you guys can comment on this. Who hopes someone else will do the heavy lifting because we think they can do it easier than we can, or because we still don't grasp that every single one of us must do our part, whatever part that might be. And from what I'm hearing from you both is what part, you know, what's our part? We're looking for leadership. And, that's, I guess you both are kind of on that same idea that, hey, we need leadership for this.
I think Trump needs to call the ball on this.
Okay.
I that's just the way I feel about it. And if he calls the ball and were to invoke the Insurrection Act, then you're talking about the military, and these are professionals.
Well, then we don't need to be there then, outside of the show of support.
No, that's not, well, yeah, show of support, and that's fantastic. But this is like any other, this is like a rally. Okay. And it just indicates that people are armed. Well, we already know people are armed. You see what I'm saying? Let's say, Doug, let's just do a scenario here. They go there and a firefight erupts. I mean, a bloody riot. What happens then?
Depends on who's downrange.
But I'm just saying, what happens then, sir?
Well, it could be our Fort Sumter, couldn't it?
I'm just saying it'd be a disaster. it would be a disaster. One, I believe in surgical strikes myself. I was always trained in guerrilla warfare. I admire these kids that go out and face the enemy, you know, platoon strength and company strength and battalion strength. I never had that luxury. Five-man squads, that was it, baby. We got a lot done, okay? So I'm more of a surgical strike kind of guy. I don't think bleeding in the street is necessarily the answer when you could surgically, never mind.
I totally agree with you on that. And I think that's.
I don't want to see this country erupt into a civil war. I do not want to see that. There's other ways to do this.
But aren't we preventing a civil war? I guess this is what I'm trying to prevent is a civil war. I'm trying to prevent bloodshed.
Wait a minute. By having three quarters of a million armed people and like John was describing, 5, 6, 7, 10, 12, 20 groups with different agendas and different motives, then the troublemakers mixed in those groups, it could be a recipe for disaster. It's a good thing because people have to be such self-disciplined. It's going to be incredible. And I don't know if the self-discipline's there. I hope it is. I pray to God it is. I pray to the Lord God Almighty that it's a peaceful day.
Well, you both make valid points. And John, I respect you 100% and Randy too. I understand what you're saying.
I wish I had met this guy sooner, Doug. this guy rocks, man. I hope we get to do this again, John. This is fantastic.
Maybe we will. It's up to Doug.
Well, of course.
Or if he is.
You know,
this is super. I've learned so much today, sir. And I thank you for your service. Absolutely.
Well, thank you for your service also. Thank
absolutely. You are an incredible individual. And when you decide you want to lead something, let me know.
Well, you'll be the first.
Cool.
but see, okay. Sorry about that. I guess I dropped my pen.
that was a big pen, man.
Actually, it's one of those. It's a big one. All right. You're right. I think President Trump's got to make the play on this, but. Because
at the end of the day, Doug, at the end of the day, he's the guy that's going to be in charge. So whatever mess is made, he's going to have to clean it up. So I'd like to think that he has some say so in what the mess is.
Folks, what do you think, ladies and gentlemen watching or listening to this? Comment on Rumble, Hagman Report, right underneath this video. I think all of us would be interested in what you have to say. And again, Hagman Report on Rumble. There you could have a conversation about this. I really want to hear from you. I think Randy and John, both of you too, I think our listeners and viewers probably have something to say about this. But you know, if Biden, the only thing, okay. So the reason I say this, and we have, just so you know, we've got about 8 minutes left. So I'm trying to prevent when they come for our guns, and they will. I don't want to be fighting then. I don't, you know, I don't want this. I want us to rip the no history. Look what happened in Serbia. I posted on my personal Facebook. I don't know whether you guys saw this. Not on my Facebook or not Facebook, but Twitter. Young man from Serbia talking about, or Ukraine talking. I think it was Ukraine talking about what happened there with the Russians and the takeover of his country. And the fact that it was just brutal, and it was such a passionate statement.
Well, what's the difference between storming Washington on the 6th or on the 20th of February? You see what I'm saying? If you're going to go out there and commit bloodshed, you could storm the White House in February and commit your bloodshed. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I'm not talking about storming anything though.
You're imposing a deadline on yourself, really. The six is not a drop dead date, except for Mike Pence.
Can't argue with that.
That's just my thoughts.
I want to, but I can't.
Yeah, I'm just not looking for civil war on the 6th.
No normal person is.
I'm not looking for civil war at all. I don't want civil war.
No.
I hope that things go well on the 6th. I hope that Donald Trump does all this legally and he's exhausted all his resources. If he has to go to alternative measures, I 110% support the man. That's kind of just the way I see it.
I agree.
Kind of. That's the way I see it, period.
I agree, Randy.
Thank you, sir. Like I said, I'll go hang out with this guy.
What have I done?
This has been a fantastic show. Absolutely.
Well, get to St. Louis, go to Stack and Shack on South Lindbergh.
Hey, I'm coming to you. Know,
I have eaten there. I have eaten there many times, sir.
I know you have. Of course you have.
Yep. Funny story. The Shell station on the corner right by the Steak and Shake.
Yep.
I was in there. I had shot a goose. I shot a goose out at the Anheuser-Busch Reserve. So I had blood all over the trunk of the car. And this is back in the day when the guy used to come out and put gas in your car.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm sitting here. I got a yellow Maverick, 74 Maverick, blood all over the back bumper and all. And the guy's putting the gas in the car, and I'm watching him in the rearview mirror. He's thinking I got a dead body in the trunk or something. Yeah. Some funny stories.
Except that time you didn't. And I'll just leave it at that, folks.
Okay. Right on.
John, what else is on your mind, my man?
Well, we seem to have people keep their spiritual house in order. This is ultimately a spiritual war. We can't forget that. And pray for our president, pray for his family, pray for our republic. Prayer is powerful, and prayer works.
Yes.
And we need to keep that in the front of our brains, Doug and Randy both.
Yep. Faith the size of a mustard seed, sir.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. Faith without works is dead.
I agree on all that. I think, and we have to remember too, we're fighting a spiritual battle.
Yep.
I heard Matt Bracken yesterday on some a program.
Now there's a guy I'd like to have lunch with, Matt Bracken.
You know, and he was talking about what we've been talking about the last couple of last several minutes, and you know how this could very well play out, and you know, to listen to this, to listen to him, and I apologize, I don't remember the name of the program, but to listen to this over, you know, right before Christmas and in the shadow of Christmas, really got me thinking. You know, I really believe that this probably may be, no matter what happens, this may be our last normal Christmas or Christmas as we know it for a while, because hey, regardless if election fraud is exposed and the deep state, much of the deep state is taken out, but not all of it. I can't imagine all of it being taken out. There's going to be some blowback. There's going to be blowback regardless of what happens. So, you know, the spiritual house is, John, as you said, you know, get it in order. You're absolutely right.
The big thing is you got Christmas a few days away. Spend the time with your family, your loved ones. Hug your kids, hug your spouse, hug the people you love, okay? Pick up the phone and call somebody you haven't talked to in a long time. So like you said, Christmases are going to be different in the future. And, you know, everybody out there, God bless you. And thank you for your support. Thank you for praying for us. I get some fantastic emails. So just thank you very much and Merry Christmas to everybody. Hopefully I'll see you a little bit later this week, but if I don't, definitely a Merry Christmas, and John, a Merry Christmas to you, sir.
Thank you, Randy. Same to you, sir.
You're not getting off easy. You're riding with me the whole
week.
Well,
I know. I'm okay. thank you for inviting me today. This has been fantastic.
Well, you know, John Moore is recognized as, in the alternative media, is recognized as one of the pioneers, as well as one of the stalwarts in the alternative media. And I've got a lot of respect for John. Yeah. And he knows what he's talking about. He really does.
This is a big day for me.
That's good. John Moore, thelibertyman.com, thelibertyman.com. I said thelibertyman.com, the web presence for John Moore. There it is on your screen. If you're watching this, if you're not watching it, why not? It's on Rumble. I can't believe how many people are still saying, where are you guys at? Folks, go to HagmanReportLive.com or HagmanReport.com. I'm sorry, HagmanReport.com. And there it is. And the links to John Moore's website will be right there. But once there, drill down and listen to his shows. It's fabulous stuff. And of course, John, I want to say thank you so very much, man.
And Randy, Merry Christmas to you and your families, and look forward to doing this next Monday.
All right on. Perfect.
That's right. All right, brother. John, I'm going to cut you loose. Randy, we got a.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We only have a few minutes left. Randy, I'm telling you, man, I have, in closing, I believe we have a fight ahead of us. I believe it's a winnable fight, but my gosh, we have to be here. And this is why you're here too. And I want to thank you personally and professionally, because we have to be that presence where people can tune in to get the real truth, the real news about what's really going on.
Well, people need some good news too. And the good news is we're here with you. Okay. Nobody's going anywhere. We're all in this big foxhole together. You're not out here fighting this alone. And when you get a little bit discouraged, remember, we're out here with you. You guys pick me up when I'm falling down. I get great emails. I get, you know, comments. There's some jerks that comment. That's fine. But, the thing is, we're in this all together, and we're all patriots. We're Christians. We're in the good fight. This is a good fight. Okay. And we're doing it for the right reasons. And if you're doing something for the right reasons, then God's with you. God is with you. I mean, you know, it may look like it's Goliath out there, but we're all Davids. Okay. We're all Davids, and we can take down this giant. So whatever happens between now and the 20th is what's going to happen. And the thing is, we deal with it. And we talked before, we've got plan A. It's Trump. Is inaugurated on the 20th, no problems. B, C, D, E, and F. And we will continue to make plans as necessary. Okay? And you got gentlemen out here like this guy. I'm thrilled with what's happened today with John Moore. What a fantastic individual. I really wish I'd met him sooner. What a wise man. Okay? And listen to people that have the experience. Okay? There's ways to do things and there's ways not to do things. Okay. And we're going to be okay. We're going to get through this. The right thing is going to happen. And I'll be honest with you. In the end, we're going to prevail. The United States cannot fall as a republic. If the United States falls, the rest of the world falls. So it's not just the responsibility that we have of maintaining our country. We're actually responsible for the rest of the world. That's a big responsibility. And stop and think about that. Because if the U.S. falls, the global cabal takes over. We are the only thing standing between freedom and slavery for humanity. That's no joke. I kid you not. And you think about that over your Christmas holidays, okay? But the main thing over the Christmas holidays, remember what Christmas is about. It's not about the presents and the toys and this and that. It's about the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay. And it's very important to remember that, because at the end of the day with the Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, they're on our side, man. Okay. And when I got them on my team, you're not taking me down. All right. So everybody have a Merry Christmas, and I'll be with Doug the rest of the week. I've got some stuff to do tomorrow, but, I'll be back.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I do.
Excuses already, right?
Well, I know I got the medical thing, you know,
no,
but I got to take care of that. And then I'll be back Wednesday with Doug, co-hosting. I'm new at this co-hosting thing. But get used to seeing me. He's my buddy, and I'm going to step in here. I might even start putting on a shirt and a sport coat. You never know. Tie ain't happening, but we'll see. Okay. Please comment on Doug's ties. They're beautiful. I love them.
And selected by me. And I wanted to do a tie line, except I had to deal with China, and I ain't doing that. I'm not doing that. So, the reason that we're double teaming this is because this is such a critical issue. And, we have to really approach this with all the intellect, sobriety, and, planning, as you mentioned, as necessary.
This is God. This is God's will in my life, is to be here with my friend.
And to
be here with you people. It's plain and simple. God has done some things in my life to put me right here in this chair.
Yes.
Here I am. You're stuck with me.
Randy Taylor, I love you, brother. We'll talk later. And, folks.
Love you too, man.
All right, man. Ladies and gentlemen, please do me a favor. Do us a favor. And that's, to subscribe to Rumble. That's Rumble, as well as Brighteon. It increases the algorithms appropriately. May God bless each and every one of you. See you tomorrow.